welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, this is Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. My lovely co-host, Anne, is not with us today, but thank you for joining us. If this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. This is a show for couples struggling with infertility or miscarriage, or maybe you're on the journey to adoption, however God is building your family. We know what that can be like, and we know that God is enough. You can cling to Christ in the middle of anything, and He will be there for you. We're going to jump right into today's show. I have a very exciting guest with us on the program, not only because I know her personally and she is a high-profile guest, but also because this woman of God is going to leave you encouraged. Every time I talk to her, I feel like just the presence of God rolls off of you, Heidi. So first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. What a treat.
So a little background. Heidi, let's see if I can get this right. Heidi's sister married my brother, and so we are family, though there's not a term for that I know of.
Right. Sisters in love, I
sisters
guess.
In love. I like that. We'll roll with that. Also, Heidi and her husband are pastors at the church where I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky. Her husband's the head pastor, and Heidi leads worship. And I love every time I'm in town hearing you just usher us into the presence of God and your just your humility. And there's a special spirit of grace on you, Heidi. So thank you for operating
Thank
in that
you.
Gift.
Thank you for that.
Well, I was in the middle of my infertility journey and praying about how God was going to make something that I was told was impossible possible when Heidi came to me one day and shared a little bit of her story. And I, you know, there's so many people that until they say something, you have no clue what the journey is.
Right.
So we're going to hear your journey. You have three beautiful, wonderful children that are I know you could easily brag on them, but I'm going to do it for you. They are being raised to be servants of the living God who believe that anything's possible, and they are world changers. And I don't use that term for just anyone. So awesome job, Mom. anywho, we're going to jump in. Could you start off by telling us your story of how you and your husband met and what kind of your expectations for building your family were?
Sure. We met in college. We actually met the first day of school because we were both music majors. We thought that the Lord was going to have a kind of a different path than what we've taken. And so we were both studying music for music ministry, but we thought it would take more of a music path. And since then, the Lord has changed it into more of a pastoral route. And God has a way of always doing something different than what we originally thought. Mm-hmm. And Travis and I knew each other for 7 years before we got married.
Wow.
We were just friends for the first year.
Wow.
And then it started, you know, we traveled in different groups for the school and just being around each other a lot. It developed into a relationship. We even had a year of a breakup just to seek what the Lord wanted for us individually and not be together. But the Lord did bring us back together after graduation from college. And 2 years later, we got married. And so because we had 7 years of knowing each other, that first year of marriage just seemed, people say first year of marriage is hard, but for us, we had known each other and we knew our goals and our dreams. And we had discussed a lot of that, you know, those things. So
there weren't as many surprises.
right. Exactly. But, you know, marriage was, we've been blessed with a very good marriage. Mm. And it's just been wonderful on that side of things. Mm. And then, we wanted a family and had always thought about that. And about a year into marriage, we just started discussing whether or not we should have children. And so we started that journey. And it, you know, after a year of trying, you know, they'd say, you know, you read these books, right? And they say after a year of trying, then you should go see the doctor. And right. it just wasn't happening. Mm. And I had always had problems just with my cycle and stuff. It just, so I thought that maybe there would be an issue. And so we went in and had some tests done. And the doctor said, well, it's going to be a challenge. And she said, it's probably going to be costly for you. Mm. So if, you know, that's a decision you will have to make. And if you're going to go down this road and have, you know, spend a lot of money, maybe you should consider adoption because that's also costly. And some couples go down that road and they spend all this money and they still can't have a baby. And then they have to adopt or something like that.
Wow.
But we really felt like, no, we want to try this. We feel like the Lord has this for us. You know, we've served him all his life. And Psalms 127, 128, it talks about, you know, you serve the Lord and he will fill your quiver with arrows, right? Mm-hmm. And he will bless your house. And we've laughed at that since then because it's like a couple verses later, it says your blessings will overtake you. And now we have three kids. And we're in like the teenage years. And sometimes we look at each other and we say, our blessings are definitely overtaking us now. But those chapters were something we felt like he gives you the desires of your heart. Not only does he give you the desires of your heart, but he places those desires there. And so for us, I was just not willing to like let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started down that journey of faith that God was going to do this for us.
And costly is a big word.
Yes, exactly. With our first baby, it just ended up being like kind of easy once we started the treatments. They just gave me Clomid. I'm sure that's a very familiar drug to most people who are dealing with this. And the second month it worked. And and our firstborn was like on our way. And so I felt like our problems, well, this is good. Like my body will catch on. I had a fairly good pregnancy and he was born and he was 8 pounds and 13 ounces, like a healthy baby. And
textbook.
So I thought this is good, you know, like when we're ready, that will roll around again. But, you know, a couple of years after that, we thought, well, we have problems, so we should probably start again. And the second baby cost much more. It was much harder to get here. For whatever reasons, my husband had developed problems with slow motility, which wasn't an issue with the first baby, but it was the second baby. And the Clomid wouldn't work for me anymore. It was just producing cysts. And then we'd have to wait a cycle. And so then we began shots. And
that's painful.
They gave us, and they gave us the choice of, like, you know, in vitro or insemination. And everybody has to make their own choice. Sure. But for us, storing eggs was going to cost more. And I just didn't feel comfortable donating them to, you know, maybe an unsafe family or something like that. So we decided we were going to stick with insemination. Either that was going to work for us or not. And it was 8 cycles with our second baby with many like pauses in between because of cysts growing. And so we'd have to take a couple months off and you know, the bank account, it's expensive. And so the bank account, you know, we had savings, but now we're starting to spend that savings all on infertility and will this ever work? And so on the 8th cycle, we finally told the doctor, thank you for all your help, but this is just not going to work for us. She was not a Christian and probably, you know, kind of a liberal doctor, didn't understand our, you know, stance on things. And so we said, thank you for all your help, but this isn't going to work for us. Either God's going to give us a baby or, you know, not. And she was frustrated because she felt like the treatments we were receiving should work. Like, like, why isn't the science working? And so she said, give me one more cycle. You don't have to pay for anything but the pregnancy test. I'll pay for everything else.
Just
give me one more cycle, right?
That doesn't happen.
So we said, well, okay, a free try.
Okay.
And so we tried again, and I had 6 viable eggs, and he had over 100 million good swimmers, which he had only been running 14,000.
What?
And so at that point, I remember that day, we were like, she left the office before the procedure, and we were like, one baby, Lord, one baby.
Yeah.
Our prayers just dramatically shifted.
Wow.
And I forgot to say that when my firstborn was about 4 years old, he brought me a picture, like a portrait that he had drawn of our family, you know, how kids do. And he said, Mom, I drew a picture of our family. And I took it, and it was more than three people. There was another little figure next to him. And in my arms, it was clearly a baby with a bow on the head.
Oh, my word.
And I said to him, Josiah, why did you draw, you know, there's just the three of us. Who are these people? And he said, oh, that's my little brother and my little sister.
Oh, that gives me goosebumps.
And so I put the date on it, and I put underneath him exactly what he said those people were, you know, Mommy, Daddy, Josiah, little brother, little sister. And we have a little, like, chest that we keep on the mantle. We call it our dream box. And we put prayers in there and memories. And now it's like our family has grown with, like, prayers and answered prayers. In fact, there's more answered prayers in there now in our dream box than there are, you know, requests. And so, yeah, that was kind of our first word over the family, a word from the Lord, and it actually came from my four-year-old.
That's crazy.
And that was when we were beginning. Right, and I don't think he ever heard us talking because we just didn't discuss that stuff in front of him. But so anyways, after that eighth cycle with a doctor that we got for free, sure enough, we were pregnant again.
Wow.
And we went on in to find out what it was. And it was a little boy, and we named him Judah. And I remember driving home from the appointment where we found out there was a boy. And I felt so bad. And I was kind of just being honest with the Lord. And I said, I don't mean to be ungrateful because, you know, at one point the doctors were telling us we couldn't have kids. And I'm so thankful for this baby. So help me with my my little desire that I was hoping for a girl. And it was like clear as a bell. The Lord said to me, who said I'm done?
I love that.
And I said, okay, then you're going to have to provide all the money, Lord, because this one was really expensive.
Yeah.
And so Judah was born, and he actually came 4 weeks early, and we had NICU expenses on top of that.
Oh, wow.
And we moved to a different state, and we always tell him, you were the hardest and the most expensive to get into this world, so the Lord must have a very good plan for your life. And but after a while, I just kind of put that little dream aside for a girl. We were in a new state. We were away from the doctor that we'd been working with. I wasn't sure who to go to. And it was Christmas time. And my sister and brother-in-law, who is your brother,
yes,
they came and were visiting for Christmas, and they were staying at our house. And they came in one night, and they announced, we're having a baby. And, you know, everybody was excited, and we were, and I was really mad at myself on the inside because it happened so easy for them.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the audience would understand that when people announce that they're going to have a baby. It's not that you're not happy for them. But wow, that took you no time at all. That was super easy. You didn't have to pay thousands of dollars. And I was mad at myself for that honest feeling I was having. And I kind of dealt with that that night. You know, I was just praying about it. Lord, you know, fix my heart. That's not right. I am really happy for them. And I get a niece or nephew. This is wonderful. This is wonderful news. And I rebuke Satan for even making me feel that way, you know. And the next morning, your brother came down and he is the most optimistic person I've ever met.
Like, it's true.
I'm probably a natural pessimist, but I think you would agree. Like, he's just, the world never gets him down.
It's true.
So he came bounding down that next morning, and he's like, guess what, everybody? He's telling us at breakfast, guess what? I had a dream last night. And in my dream, not only was Lindsay pregnant, but you were too, Heidi. And the babies were 2 weeks apart.
No, and I do not know this story.
Like,
oh, what?
You didn't?
I didn't know this story.
Yes, and he's like, yep, the babies are going to be 2 weeks apart. And, you know, everybody's like, that would be crazy. And I remember taking the dishes into the kitchen, you know, to clean up. And I was just like Sarah. I just, in my heart, I said, Lord, that would be amazing. But that's like, you know, cycle after cycle of disappointment and thousands of dollars that we'll have to spend. And I don't have a doctor here. And I was more like Sarah and Abraham than I should have been, kind of laughing at the concept, you know? And so they left, you know, Christmas came and went, and it was the new year. And I thought, well, I should just take this from a word of the Lord. The Lord may have given Jeremy this dream. So I'm going to, you know, act on it. And so I did some research, found a fertility doctor here in town, and I thought, well, we'll go with this one. And anybody who's been through this cycle would know, I always got very annoyed when you'd call these doctors because their first question of you is, are you sure you're not pregnant? Mm-hmm. They always make you take a pregnancy test before mm-hmm. they'll start treatment. And I was always like, that's why I'm calling you, I'm sure. So I thought, I'm going to beat them to it so we can get this. I already know the drill. They're going to make me come in for a pregnancy test. And if I just take a pregnancy test and then call them, then we can get right to the appointment where we run the other tests.
Mm-hmm.
And so before calling them, I remember it was a Monday morning for whatever reason, I took a pregnancy test and it was positive.
Oh my gracious.
And, you know, it had been sitting in the cabinet for a while. I thought, it must be old.
Yeah.
So I went to the store and I bought another one and I took it at the store and sure enough, that one was positive too. And I ran to my husband's office and I walked in and I handed him the test and he said, whose is this? Like I walk around with
somebody else's.
Tests. And I said, it's ours. And that was our baby girl. We call her our free baby girl. And sure enough, she was born 19 days after my niece was born. And they're the best of friends. And the Lord just did a complete miracle. He brought us three babies in three different ways after finding out that we couldn't wow. have any. And I believe that the Lord, even through testimony, that somebody could be listening right now and even through the testimony, believe again.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm.
Yeah.
I love that the Lord challenged you with when you had Judah of I'm not done. Like who says, yep. how are you putting a limit on me? And it's so easy with infertility right. because we deal with numbers and figures and medications and it's a game of odds is what it feels like.
Right.
So you can get lost in that and forget the God who knows no limits.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that there's moments through an experience like this. I remember one particular moment with our second when we were waiting for him to come and it was another no, you know, mm-hmm. you'd take the test and nope, you're not pregnant. And I remember laying down on the bed and I was home alone and this like ugly wail came out of my mouth.
Mm.
Just, you know, like it's almost the time I understood the groanings of the Holy Spirit. I had no words.
Mm.
I didn't understand why. And I just, like, I remember my house just filling with the sound, like, that's me making that sound. But it was such a groan from the depths. And I think even those prayers sometimes are the most powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a Mother's Day walking into church. I had taken a test that morning. It was no again. And one of my friends came up, guess what? I'm pregnant. And I just could hardly hold the tears back, and I had to lead worship that morning, and we were singing, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, and that bridge says, you give and take away, and I just lost it in front of the whole church. But there's something that happens when you're denied something you want, and you're praying for something, and I believe there's a purpose for the waiting, and what it is there's a sacrifice that comes up from you. There's a different kind of prayer. There's a different kind of worship that happens that can't happen when you're getting your way.
Mm.
It's when you're told no, no, no. That sacrifice of praise can only happen during that time of trial and denial, and that kind of trust for the Lord can only happen. I think sometimes we have to wait so that you can have that moment with your beloved, with the Lord. It's I would say that all through all my trusting for babies, I grew closer to the Lord. It's another kind of trust that happens during that time, and I believe it gives your waiting purpose.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And what does the name Judah mean?
Judah means praise.
So you were praising him when you didn't feel it. And then you named the blessing praise.
Yes, exactly. And I am a firm believer that those babies that are waited for, there's a specific purpose for their life for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
If they had been born when you wanted them to be, they wouldn't be in the right timing for what God has on their life.
Mm.
And our oldest is 17. He's wanting to be a pastor. we have seen God leading him all through this time, and he's about ready to start his training. And Judah, he is like a dreamer. He has spiritual dreams. The Lord has given him an artistic ability. And so he has a journal that he writes things that the Lord shows him. He draws things. And he's like a deep thinker. He's like our quieter one.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a strong desire for justice. Injustice really bothers him. So we feel like he's got the office of the prophet on him. And then our third girl, our baby girl, she's a worshiper. We were going to name her Hannah. But when we got closer to it, we didn't feel like that was her name. And the Lord gave us Ava Grace. Ava means songbird of life. And Grace, of course, means unmerited favor. Just given to us, not because we earned it. And she's our singer. She's our worshiper. She sings everywhere. She's constantly humming. It drives her brothers nuts. But she's our worshiper. Mm-hmm. And I just believe that anybody who's waiting for a baby, there's a purpose for it, and it's actually not about you. It's about their life and their calling, and they have to be born at the time that the Lord has for them. I would have had mine all close together and wouldn't have waited, you know, through a 10-year process of infertility treatments.
I 100%
wanted them spread apart. Yeah.
I love what you said about the timing, because the Lord had revealed that to me about the babies that are waited for are often the babies that God has a unique calling on their life, which is why he you know, gets you praying for them. It's like he builds up a stash of prayers before the blessing. But I hadn't thought specifically about that time in history with the delayed gift. But you look at, you know, all the babies in the Old Testament and New Testament, you know, Samuel, John the Baptist, it's John the Baptist, but we did a whole series of barren women of the Bible on this show. But you look at all of the children that came from those barren women of the Bible.
Yes.
Very unique callings on their life. Well, I love the miraculous way that God gave you that freebie, which is awesome. You were telling me off air before we started about another story of a miraculous conception that just kind of takes us out of the element of human involvement and into the, like, miraculous. Mm-hmm. Would you mind sharing that with us?
Absolutely. I was just talking to another pastor here in Kentucky last week, and he said, our church is on fire with this testimony. I have to tell you what happened. And what happened was, there's a lady in the church that could not have children. Four people gave her a word from the Lord that she was going to have a baby, and I think they said it was going to be a boy. And this pastor was one of those people that gave her that word that you're going to have a baby. And he said, I would have chickened out if I had known she has no ovaries. And nobody knew that. And they knew she wanted a child, but nobody knew the fact that she had no ovaries. And so she actually was not feeling well at all and had been going to the doctor for tests. And she was starting to think she had cancer, and it was getting serious. It turns out that when they ran some ultrasounds and stuff, there's a baby in there. And there's no ovaries, but there's a baby in there. And it's just I think that may be one of the biggest infertility miracles I've ever heard of.
I would love to see the doctor's response to that, who diagnosed her with not having ovaries.
Like what, like, they're thinking.
What?
It's just crazy. But I wanted to share these things today because I believe that even through testimony, there can be a healing. And I believe that no matter what the doctors have said, we are not to come into agreement with it. If the Lord has laid on your heart that you're going to have a family, then you hold on to that. And I think there's 7 women in the Bible that wanted a baby. Only one of them did not have a baby, and that was Michael, because she mocked David as he worshipped. And I knew that wasn't me, and I know that's not your listeners. And so I just held on to that. All the others, their story is told in the Bible for a reason. It's to say, I will give children to those that want it, who serve me and love me. And not only, like, after I had my first, I started holding on to that. Not only did they have one child, but most of them had many children. And so I held on to that, you know, my one child, thank you, Jesus, but I believe you want me to have more than that, and that you do want to fill our quiver with arrows here in this home, because we have served you, and we love you, and we will testify of you. And so I just speak healing over anybody who's listening, and mm-hmm. I speak faith to believe again, mm-hmm. even though you have sat on your bed and wailed and felt that grief that happens every month, mm-hmm. that that the Lord can heal and will bring those promises to be.
Well, Heidi, once again, you are ministering not just to other people, but to me personally. Your story is right where I am. My husband and I are starting to pray for God to grow our family again. He did it once with a miracle, and I've been dealing with my heart on that issue of, but Lord, I want more. And he's reminding me, like, don't limit what I can do. Don't try to put me in a box. So your story is very encouraging. Thank you so much for coming on the program today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.